So today is February 4th, 2016. My name is Rob Mason, and I'm the Student Project Coordinator for the UBC Law History Project. Joining me today is David Mossop. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
So why don't we start by talking a little bit about your background, and starting with your childhood. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Parkdale area of Toronto. I had three sisters, no brothers, and a female cousin lived with us for a while. And neither of my parents had gone past high school. Neither of them had finished high school. And my father was an auto mechanic, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom. But he managed to buy a house in Toronto, have four kids, and send them all to university, which is pretty good, considering he was an auto mechanic.
Wow, okay. So where did you go to school?
Well, I went to high school at Parkdale Collegiate Institute, and then I went to the University of Toronto.
Okay. I'm also a graduate of U of T.
Great.
What did you study when you were there?
I majored in economics.
Okay. And when did you start working? Did you have any summer jobs or student
jobs? I worked at the Parks Department at a swimming pool as a janitor, and I got that job, I think it was grade 11 and 12, and I continued it up during the summer. I got it every summer, even into law school, so I never had to look for a summer job. It was a really unique situation.
Did your brothers and sisters work as well?
They worked at the Parks Department. It was all sort of a family business, sort of thing.
Okay. So what made you want to go to law school then?
I always wanted to be a lawyer from a very little guy onward.
When did you first know?
Oh, you know, six or seven, something like that.
Really?
Yes.
And how did you hear about law, or what prompted that?
Well, I used to watch Perry Mason, didn't you?
Okay. So that was sort of your first experience, was just television and
you, that's right.
And, yeah. Okay. How did your parents feel about that?
My mother loved it.
Yeah. Your father?
He liked it too, but my mother was more into the educational component.
Okay. So then you were in Toronto and you went out to UBC then for a
That's long. Right.
What prompted you to do that?
Well, there were two or three reasons. First of all, I wanted to get away from home, and I had gone undergraduate and gone to law, did my undergraduate degree. To save money, I stayed at home. But at that time, in Ontario, they had a very good student aid program in which, if you got an undergraduate degree, they declared you an independent student, and your parents' income was not considered. And they would pay you, they would give you assistance to go to any postgraduate program in Canada.
Wow.
And pay 60% of it in a loan, but the other 40% would be a grant up to $1,000. And then after that, it would be all grant. So I graduated from law school with $1,800 worth of student loans, which at the time I thought was a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the tuition out here was $535 to go to law school. So different situation entirely.
Right. And what were your first impressions of UBC?
Where is the building?
Really?
There was no building. There was a small building that contained the library, which had a beautiful view of the inlet here, but all the classes were held in these World War II shacks, and so I was really surprised there was no building.
And what year was this then?
This was 1967, which is almost 50 years ago.
So your graduate year was
70.
1970, okay. What was your law school curriculum like?
Well, compared to what it is now, it was a skeleton curriculum. There was no charter. There was no Aboriginal rights. So I would think the first year course is the same, except those you would take constitutional law, but it would be solely based on the sovereignty of Parliament and the division of powers, right? And no Aboriginal. I remember spending a lot in the constitutional, taking some crazy case on the sheriff of Middlesex decision. And for some reason, the professor thought it was important about the relationship between the judiciary and the parliament, but I could never see the relevancy of that.
So what areas of law interested you most as a student?
Well, I was interested in criminal law, administrative law, and constitutional law.
And did that carry through your practice?
That carried through. There were very few options, right? Like the options were you either take conflicts or insurance law or something like that. Though in the third year, I did take American constitutional law, which I found very useful.
Right. How did that end up being useful for you?
Well, it gives you, when the charter came in, it gave you a kind of basis to analyze things, right?
Yeah, okay. And you mentioned that women were in a much different role back then.
Back then, I think there were three sections in the first year.
Yeah.
And in each section, I remember in our section there were only two or three women, and they were not allowed into the commons room. And I remember that distinctly because either the first or second day of the law school, the Law Students Association had a meeting in the library, and so I went to it, and as the meeting started, one woman stood up and said, quote, "They've renovated the commons room, and they've moved the vending machines from the entrance of the commons room to the back of the commons room. And I've been asked by the women law students to clarify whether our traditional easement into the commons room to use the vending machine still exists since they've been moved back into the back part of the commons room." And then she pointed out that they had their own little place in the basement where the washrooms were, right?
Wow.
And I remember walking by it, and there was a couple of women in there and had a little kettle, making tea or something. So that's one of the black marks of the law school that you don't get taught by the professors now. They just kind of forget it, right?
Sure. So did that change at all during your time at the law school?
I think it was in the mid-70s when the number of women started increased. It reached a kind of critical mass, and they revolted, and there was a big to-do about it, and then they changed the rules.
Was there any resistance to it?
I don't know. I didn't keep track about what happened at that point in time.
Right. Well, let's move on to what you did after law school then. What were your immediate pursuits?
I immediately went into articling. I'm articled with a small firm in the downtown area, and my intention was to do criminal law, but my principal did a lot of civil law, and I kind of enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. So you started shifting around, and were you excited about different areas, or?
Well, what happened was my articlings were coming to an end, and I didn't know what to do, and I had lunch with a lawyer friend of mine who had actually gone to U of T, but he had become a lawyer. He had prosecuted for a while, and then he did some defense work. And we had lunch, and he told me that he was setting up the first community law office in Vancouver, and we're going to have three lawyers. And he had already hired one, and I told him I was looking for a job. And he says, "Do you want a job?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Hired," and that's how I got hired there. And I stayed at the Community Legal Assistance Society from 1971 to 2014.
Wow. And did you ever want to do something else?
Well, I worked for the Department of Consumer Affairs in the early 70s. But I did that for 1 year, but I came back and I enjoyed doing the work I did.
What was it about the work that was so enjoyable?
Well, it was two things. It was the work and the lawyers in the office, the sort of atmosphere, collegiality atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So I did work in the constitutional law, administrative law, and nonprofit societies.
So overall then, did you feel that law school was a good experience for you?
It was a good experience. When I came in, I knew nothing about law. Unlike students today, where you can look up on the internet and find out how to brief a case, what is expected of you at law school, what the how to take exams, all that's sort of put out to you. That's the good part today. The hard part today, I think, is getting into law school, right?
Sure.
And I doubt if I would get into law school these days if I had to get in.
Why do you think that?
Oh, I didn't have that grade of marks, right?
Okay. So did you... Did UBC Law provide you with adequate professional opportunities, or was that sort of something that
happened? I enjoyed every course that I took, the only regret I had was not taking certain other courses, such as conflicts or insurance law. I wish I had taken those.
And what courses would you have would you have wanted to replace?
Well, none of them. I think, as I said, there's none that I took that I didn't like.
Right. So you just ideally would have wanted to be in law school longer.
No, that's for sure. I wouldn't want to be in law school. After you've done 2 degrees, I think that's it.
Yeah. So what was different about between practice then and now? From when you were first starting.
First of all, you have to manage clients. And the other thing is that when you're in law school, you don't worry about facts, right? And as Justice Brandeis of the U.S. Supreme Court once said, let me write the facts and I don't care who writes the law.
Interesting. How do you think that law schools could get students to think more about facts?
Well... I don't think necessarily law schools can handle that type of issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always been this issue about what is the function of the law school. And in fact, when the first law school started up using the case method, there was a lot of controversy about it because people usually became lawyers by apprenticing for 5 years or 6 years, as the case may be. And the theory behind it was that a law school would give you the theory and then you could apply the theory when you get out.
Right.
But I think the law schools, like the Law Society and the legal profession, have to rethink the way they operate. And I don't think it's necessary to have 3 years of law school. Hmm. And I think you could do it in 2. And with the high price, it's very difficult for students. You know, I left law school with a total of $1,800 in student debt. I don't think that, even considering inflation, that would have the effect. And I don't see anything wrong with giving people the ability in undergraduate years to take some of the first year courses. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to rethink the 3 year.
Interesting. Do you think that articling was a more, or could be a more valuable experience?
Well, the problem, articling is under rethinking too, because it's hard to get articling positions, isn't it? The thing to remember too about law school is, and this is heresy, I'm saying, but Australia and England don't require an undergraduate degree.
Yeah.
Right. And they seem to produce good lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Did you find that your degree in economics was helpful to you in your career at all?
It was only helpful because an undergraduate degree does require you to think critical.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't subscribe to the theory that law school, the purpose of law school is to make you think critical. I think that comes before you come to law school. And I think the purpose of law school is to make you think like a lawyer. Critical thinking is part of it, certainly, but that's what you get under. Undergraduates don't come in knowing nothing.
So has the workload in law firms or in the legal profession changed at all in the decades that you've been in it?
I think the pressures are harder, right? And the requirements to be more thorough are harder, I would say that, if I could kind of convolute a way. But I think that exists now. And the other thing to remember is the law students graduating from law school now are smarter than in my day, right?
Why do you think that is?
Because the academic requirements. Yeah. Having said that, I was a bencher for 8 years, and some of the benchers at the bencher table would say, well, I'd never get into law school now. But a lot of them have a kind of street smarts, right? And just because you're good academically doesn't mean you're street smart.
Yeah. What else has changed in the legal profession?
I think written advocacy takes on a greater proponent. I think the complexities of the law and the procedure have increased dramatically. And they're all based on everybody knowing what the other person's position, but it creates a very complex system that becomes unaffordable for people.
So you also worked as director of the Legal Aid Society of BC.
No, I was a lawyer with the Community Legal Assistance Society.
Oh yes, I
was a director.
Okay.
You read my... Yeah.
I read your resume. So how did that come about?
They asked me to sit on the board of directors.
Okay. And what experiences did you have with that?
Well, the political experience was that... without mentioning names here, one of the judges was on the board of directors. And the Legal Aid Society was running short of money. And so the strategy was, well, we'll just spend all of our budget and we'll go to the government and tell them we don't have any more money. Mm-hmm. And they'll give us more money and that'll solve the budgetary problem. Well, that was okay in the 70s, but not later on.
Sure. So it didn't work out that way then?
Well, it worked out that time, but not the other times.
Okay. So why did you feel that work was important?
I sat on a board and saw how decisions were made.
Yeah. And how... Was it dysfunctional then? Or?
It wasn't dysfunctional most of the time, but... you know, when you get you get a particularly lawyers together. I remember one judge told me, you get five lawyers together and you get eight opinions.
Could you describe any notable colleagues or students that you've had?
Well, they're all notable, but the... remember my first couple of years when I worked with Ian Waddell, and he later became an MP, and then he became a minister of small business in the provincial legislature, and he had practice as a criminal lawyer and prosecutor, and I was a little more timid than he. Like, he would just issue writs and then worry about the law later. And so I learned from him, sometimes you have to take some risks, right?
Sure.
You can't be completely cautious all the time.
Were there any risks that you took that were memorable?
Well, we took the, we did the first class action consumer lawsuit in Canada against BC Hydro. Mm-hmm. And we did that one, and we won in the, it was an interesting case because we won in BC Supreme Court, and Hydro had to return several $100,000 in security deposits. And then they appealed, changed counsel, and hired this big downtown law firm. And so we were quite concerned about it. And what happened was, in the meantime, the provincial government changed, and the new government ordered them not to proceed with the appeal. Hmm. So there's different ways of winning cases.
Yeah, interesting. What are some other interesting cases you worked on?
I did not work on it, but our office did the Stella Bliss case and the Nancy Law case, mm-hmm. right? And and the Rick Moore case. The office did a lot of human rights, so I did a lot of human rights cases.
So of your notable colleagues, the many that you had, are there any who you think would be suitable for an interview such as this?
Francis Kelly. Mm-hmm. Might be a good one. Let's see anybody else? Maybe you should interview some of the ex-legal assistants.
Yeah, why would that be interesting? Do you think
that's where you get the real as to what happens?
So, is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we conclude?
I would say that as far as law school is concerned, the key to success in the practice of law is you have to have a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a sense of humor, you're not going to succeed.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. And how do you think that helps specifically?
Because you can't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I heard Hurricane Carter being interviewed, and he was wrongfully convicted of murder, and then he was ultimately exonerated through the process. And they asked him very question, and they asked him, what do you think about lawyers? It's kind of interesting, because the lawyers kind of screwed him up in getting convicted, but then they got them out. He says to them, you know, it's a game.
Yeah.
And in a way, you have to think about it as a game, but on another level, it's people's lives. And their head. But so you have to balance between making it interesting, but for yourself, but at the same time, serving the needs of the client.
Yeah.
And law is more than just the law; it's running a business, or running a legal aid society. It's dealing with clients. It's the ability to deal with lawyers on the other side who sometimes are not very nice people. So it's more than just the law.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I think that concludes my questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for interviewing.
Okay.
Appreciate you coming out.
How'd we do on time?